When Crystal, a confident young African-American woman, asked, "Would you like a job?" I never imagined those five words would transform my life. There I sat in a Manhattan Starbucks, wearing my Brooks Brothers suit, wallowing in self-pity after being fired from my prestigious advertising career. At 64, nearly broke after decades of privilege, I answered with unexpected honesty, "Yes." This exchange began my improbable journey from advertising executive to Starbucks barista, a story that would later captivate millions and attract Tom Hanks, who acquired the film rights. What makes this journey particularly compelling is how it inverts traditional power dynamics. A wealthy, Yale-educated white man working for and learning from a young black female manager. The path from drinking lattes to serving them would teach me more about life, respect, and happiness than my previous six decades of privilege ever had. Standing before the Starbucks on Broadway and 93rd Street, I felt deep humiliation. No longer a corporate executive, but essentially a waiter with a fancy title, serving people who could have been my clients. Inside, the store buzzed with chaos, impatient customers and African-American partners, Starbucks' term for employees, working frantically. I'd be a visible minority among people from entirely different backgrounds. The job I feared might be beneath me suddenly seemed beyond my abilities. The registers terrified me with my poor math skills, my partial hearing loss would complicate orders, and the rapid-fire Starbucks language seemed impossible to master. Crystal greeted me with unexpected warmth, offering coffee education about Sumatra's earthy flavor. Then Kester arrived, an intimidating African-American man in a do-rag who transformed with his welcoming smile. As my training coach, he shared different coffees with paired treats, explaining his training by sharing philosophy. Standing at Bronxville Station in uniform, I recalled my elementary school principal's words, "It's not what you do, it's who you are." At 64, commuting to my Starbucks job, I questioned this quest for a second act, yet surprisingly enjoyed this work more than my prestigious position at J. Walter Thompson. At Starbucks, respect went beyond politeness. Partners always asked, "Could you do me a favor?" rather than giving orders, a refreshing change from my corporate days. Fitzgerald's words, "She realized too late that work was dignity," became my mantra. Brewing coffee and serving customers became my path to rediscovering self-worth. I found more meaning serving others than in all those years being served. My first day on register brought surprises. When I admitted my poor math skills, Joanne reassured me. So were my first two husbands. Just let the register do the work. After handling my first tall mocha order, I thought, "You can do this." Customers showed unexpected patience. A businessman encouraged me when I struggled, and another welcomed me to the neighborhood. Even the man who remarked, "I'm glad they are hiring older people," meant well. The most jarring moment came when I was so focused on a tall skim latte that I didn't recognize my daughter Annie until she greeted me with an amused, "Hi, Dad." After my shift, Annie and I traveled home together. I apologized for being a pompous fool while my life crumbled. Annie hugged me, saying, "You have been stupid, but I like your working at Starbucks." This highlighted my strange new reality, one where my children had more money than me, where I served rather than was served. Crystal noticed my natural ability with customers. Joanne showed me how Starbucks provided benefits like her eye exam and glasses, perks I'd never received, even in corporate. This environment of respect contrasted sharply with my cutthroat days at J. Walter Thompson. During my first closing shift, Crystal warned me never to touch difficult customers. No million-dollar punches. That night, Kester calmly diffused a situation with a threatening customer who had mental health issues. This incident revealed our complex work, not just serving coffee, but managing a community space open to everyone, including those struggling with addiction, homelessness, and mental illness. Unlike my sanitized past boardrooms, I found this environment more authentic. I discovered my niche conducting coffee tastings, sharing Ethiopian origin stories, and comparing regional flavors. Guests loved it, especially Dr. Paul, who eagerly anticipated each week's sampling. Many purchased coffee afterward. Crystal praised how I made guests laugh while showing genuine happiness. Annie called me a new star on Broadway, helping me see Starbucks' theater, where partners perform to lift spirits. At a regional partner forum, I was surprised to be treated as a valuable team member, not just the token older worker. Partners from other stores approached about my tastings, and one manager invited me to present at her financial district store. The irony wasn't lost on me. After decades in advertising convincing people they needed things they didn't, I was now authentically sharing my passion. My storytelling skills were creating community around coffee, and that felt infinitely more satisfying. Walking home after a coffee tasting, I had a shocking revelation. I was happier than I'd ever been. Despite losing status and wealth, I'd found genuine contentment as a Starbucks barista. My parents would have been puzzled by my happiness serving coffee and befriending people they'd barely notice. My father embraced denial, while my mother chose normalcy despite her aneurysm. After nearly getting fired for register mistakes, I developed strategies to improve. Soon, Crystal was telling others to follow my example in engaging with guests. I'd even started writing personalized poems for regulars, something they appreciated for its authenticity. Starbucks valued these human connections unlike my previous employers. When Crystal suggested transferring to Bronxville to shorten my commute, I initially resisted but recognized her wisdom. Walking out after our talk, I realized I am happier than I have ever been. Despite having a low-status job at 64, I felt profound contentment. My last shift at the Broadway store was bittersweet. I served our regulars, Dr. Paul with his grande skim latte, Denise the artist, Robert with his daughter Ella, the collegiate schoolboys counting change, and Eleanor with her Earl Grey tea. Charlie, Kester, Crystal, and Anthony surprised me by coming to see me off. At dinner, Crystal made a touching speech. "You are a funny guy, Mike. You brought legendary service. But more important, you brought yourself." When I spoke, I simply told them, "You have all saved my life." We exchanged heartfelt goodbyes before I walked into the winter night, warmed by their love. The next morning, I began at the Bronxville Starbucks, carrying the lessons from Broadway. My journey had come full circle, from privileged child to humbled barista returning home, now with authentic happiness found in honest work, genuine connections, and the dignity of service. Sometimes life's greatest gifts come disguised as failures. When everything crumbles, you discover what truly matters, not titles, but connections and dignity in honest work.